Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to...
Hi, David.
Stalking Time for the Moon Boys. One thing about this podcast is that I just said to Tim, I've got a really good way of opening the podcast, and now I've forgotten it. And the reason I've forgotten it is that we normally do two at once, and when we ended the previous one, I thought, oh, actually, no, I know what I want to start the next one with. And then Tim said, I've got to go and have a cup of tea. And over the period of his cup of tea... I've forgotten it.
You've forgotten it. What kind of was it to do with Driving Saturday? That's how we finished it.
Nah, I don't think it was.
It wasn't anything. It was just like you just had a thought.
I just had a thought, but I think we're not going to find it.
Okay.
I was hoping to instead talk about the fact that you ruined it by going for a cup of tea. Yeah, and I hope that tea is really like nice.
It's actually coffee.
Oh, is it coffee?
Yeah, okay. It's. Do you drink Nespresso coffee?
Frothy. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm never quite sure about it. It sort of. You get all the ritual of making coffee, don't you, with an espresso? I don't know if it tastes that good.
I do have a thing that we could talk about with Nespresso, but I'd have to find it on Twitter, and it involves Danny Wallace.
Oh, right.
I tweeted in March 2018.
Right.
I was at Tewkesbury Park, which is a hotel. And at Tewkesbury Park Hotel, they use Nespresso, which quite a lot of hotels do.
They do.
They have Nespresso rather than a kettle and, you know, tea and coffee making facilities of the old style.
Yeah.
And
you mean they have it in your room? Kind
in
of?
Your
yeah,
room.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know whether you can see this, but Tewkesbury Park actually has a picture of George Clooney.
George Clooney.
And it says, my perfect cup of coffee.
Right.
And it says underneath that picture of George, I'm so pleased that Tewkesbury Park use my Nespresso coffee.
Wow.
Here are my tips for the perfect cup. With a whole lot of stuff about how he starts by filling up the tank with fresh water. This is what George does.
Right.
The two cup buttons will flash while the machine is warming up.
Yeah.
I select my favourite Nespresso capsule.
That's so far literally just
for me,
what you do.
A red dot. If you bear with me, you'll see what I think is happening here. A red dot on top is decaf. Gold is his thing.
Yeah.
Then you lift. What he does is lift the chrome handle, place it inside, closing the lid. After placing the cup underneath the spout, I select a large cup or a small cup. Small for me. And wait for the coffee to pour. And then, five, I always find plenty of fresh milk in the fridge, exclamation mark. I sit back, enjoy the coffee, and admire the view, right? And I say, call me cynical, but I find it hard to believe that George actually wrote this, or even that he's so pleased that Tewkesbury Park use his Nespresso coffee. Danny Wallace. Now, I'll have to try and find something slightly weird about the way that Twitter is with this. Like, Danny Wallace wrote me about 700 tweets about this.
Yep.
So Danny Wallace says, I was actually there when he wrote it. George Clooney.
Right.
I reached for my reporter's notepad. This is a series of tweets.
Right.
But it was at home and I couldn't reach it. I kicked myself for not carrying something like that everywhere. So I took out my heavy typewriter and set it on a table, which I'd also brought. Coffee, he said. Lovely, I replied. But only if you know what you're doing. This was my joke. And we both laughed. Then he said, quite out of the blue, here are my tips for the perfect cup. This is all Danny Wallace. Why, George, I said, did you say I select a large or small cup if you know you select a small cup?
Yes.
If you are George Clooney, these are your tips, you know what you do. I feel you are messing up your own narrative POV. By the way, I've missed out one because it is quite complicated, this. Tip one said George, not looking at me, but filling up the Nespresso tank with fresh water. He's very particular about the fresh water. It couldn't be pond water, he said. Right. So that's the bit where he says, you know, I feel like you're messing up your own narrative POV. Yeah. And then I think the next tweet was, well, George stared at me. He froze. Just froze. His eyes began to water, but I couldn't tell if it was sadness or anger, or if that capsule he'd had in his mouth was compromised, and this was the devastating effect of tiny pots of caffeine. A moment later, or was it two, George began making a jerky motion and squawking like a seagull regurgitating some old man's lost glove. Then he smiled between his teeth, a gold Nespresso capsule. Don't tell anyone about this, he screamed, and began to fire pellets at me from his mouth. But they weren't pellets, they were gold Nespresso capsules. That's when I realised this wasn't George Clooney. Interesting enough, someone underneath that has written, ha-ha, no, that was George Clooney, they've written. Okay, so carries on, and then I think it eventually ends. I mean, it's literally about 20 tweets.
Right, right.
It was a 52-year-old woman who'd been put in charge of Tewkesbury Park's in-room media and coffee pots. But there was plenty of fresh milk in the fridge, he finished. I mean, if you get the chance...
Have a look at
Danny Wallace, Nespresso, George Clooney, at Badil, because it's very committed to the whole George Clooney thing.
Well, if you go to France...
Yes.
Which you probably do.
I have been to France. Yeah. I don't go to France.
Well, how do you get there then?
I've been to France. I think if you say, do you go to France?
It's a regular thing.
It implies like I spend quite a lot of time.
Right, right.
Oh, God, I've got to go to France again today. And that doesn't happen.
Okay.
I think France is one of the places I don't go to very much. Okay. Considering I believe it is the closest
a
foreign country, apart from Ireland,
that we can go to.
I don't go there.
I go a lot. I go to France.
You go to France.
I go to France. Yeah. And in any restaurant now, they'll have an espresso.
Will they?
Almost without fail is what they'll do for you.
Isn't it a bit low rent? Isn't it a bit Tewkesbury Park?
Well, I think there's a thing in France where they're so kind of cool about food and stuff is they're quite open about that. Like, they will put, like, sugar... They'll put, like, you know, sweet and low.
Yes.
You can be in a Michelin-star restaurant and they would have, like,
really?
Sweet... And, yeah, they're not fussy about eating things out of their packets and being open about it. There's high cooking and they do that very well.
Yeah.
But they're not afraid to say, here's a packet of sugar if you want to have it in your
tea. Here's a 1970s packet of sugar.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they
like
really would.
Like you'd have got in a Wimpy bar.
And I often think about that. Or they'd have like...
In the golden egg.
They'd have like a biscuit with your coffee.
And it would be
that
like...
That would be in a little wrapper.
Right, a wrapper. I thought you were going to say a biscuit and it would be like a spa digestive.
No, but I'd say in England, we'd take it out of the wrapper and make it, put it on a doily.
Yes.
They just say, no, but it's come from a packet.
Can I just go back briefly to George Clooney? So just to be clear, to anyone who didn't understand all that, Tewkesbury Park actually has a picture of George Clooney on its Nespresso machine. Mm. And then
a series
of instructions.
Yeah. Options.
As if in George Clooney's voice for how to use the Nespresso machine. Including Danny Wallace is correct. The odd detail that you don't need to know. Because what it's clearly doing is saying, well, our clientele, they'll be more likely to get the working of the Nespresso machine correct if we create the scenario that George Clooney is talking to them about how to do it. And George, of course, would, if he was doing this, he would say, I tend to use the gold one, but hey, it's up to you. You know,
but don't you think...
fill it with fresh water. I always use fresh water. He would do all that. Mm. Now, whether or not they're right about that, because I don't know that it makes any difference to my...
What, the water?
No, I'm the George Clooney-ness of
it. Right.
You know, that's what's going on.
Yeah.
Is they clearly think
people
might not use the Nespresso machine properly.
Without... I don't think it's that.
Well, why are they doing it?
I think someone, as you said, you know, who's come in to do marketing or whatever, has sort of said, Tewkesbury, what's it called?
Tewkesbury Park Hotel.
Tewkesbury Park.
I don't even know where that is. It's somewhere in the...
Tewkesbury is...
Where's Tewkesbury?
Is it in Oxfordshire?
It's somewhere like that. I don't know. It's like a sort of quite medium posh hotel.
Right, exactly. So they've come in to, let's say, head marketing. I don't know what jobs you have at hotels, but call it head marketing.
They've had a meeting.
Well, firstly, they've got the job.
Yeah,
and the way they get that job, like any job, is to say, "There's so much I love about this place. That's why I'm here." But obviously, I wouldn't be here if I didn't think there's things you could change.
Right.
And the person
is that
how
you get a job.
Yeah, and the person
I've never had a proper job.
Right. Well, that's
never had a job interview. So
okay,
I
well, it depends
that.
On the job, but something like that.
All my jobs have been like this.
Right. Yeah.
What I'm doing now.
Yeah. No. If I'd had to ask you why you should be doing this, maybe we wouldn't be here. But no, you've never.
But there are things I can improve.
Yeah. So what you
I
do?
I love
is
it, but there are things I can improve.
Yeah. You say I love it. I'm a big fan.
Yeah. Faye Ripley could be.
And then you say, you know, but obviously there's things I might change. And then the person interviewing goes, sure, I mean, please speak your mind.
Yeah.
Slightly meaning, do speak your mind a bit, but
up
don't
to
go too far.
Yeah.
Because don't forget, I'm part of.
Yeah. And I will
Tewkesbury.
Take it as criticism.
Yeah.
If you say, well, I think it's mainly it's shit.
Exactly. Unless you're being interviewed by a board, but let's not get too into technical.
No.
Let's assume that what you're being interviewed by is the person you're probably going to work for.
This is very helpful. I mean, if we call the podcast Tips on How to Get Jobs, we might have more listeners.
So we don't need more listeners. We're very comfortable.
No, we're
with
very
niche.
Yeah.
We're very comfortable. So you then say, well, look, and then you're thinking, oh, I mustn't say anything big, like, I think you should turn it into an aquarium or something. Because then they'd be like, so yeah. You've got to say, I love the hotel.
What about the whole thing with no roof?
Yeah,
like
you just open it. Yeah, you don't want to do that, put it on wheels, anything. So you want to say, I want to keep the essential, what makes it so great.
Yeah.
You've got to be careful then and then say, what exactly does make it so great? Because then you've got to say, all right, hang on, remind myself.
Yeah.
And then you maybe just a sense of fun about the place.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit, you know, Tewkesbury, I think, can be confident enough to have fun with itself. Yeah, and they say, well, what do you mean? We don't want to alienate our existing customer base.
And also,
no.
People of in the Tewkesbury area and further afield,
they come
here.
They love it.
But also with a sense that it's a hotel...
That doesn't change.
It's got probably 5 AA stars.
Yeah.
No Michelin ones, but 5 AA stars.
And it's on the Ramblers Association. No, it's probably
indeed,
not
yet, and there's probably a local glossy magazine that reviewed the restaurant very well.
Right. And
and that's now free to read in every bedroom.
Kirsty Gallagher stayed here
once. In 2014.
And what's her name?
Let's not choose any celebrities who've stayed at... Shall we find out who's actually stayed? Because I have.
Right? Okay, well, David Baddiel stayed there.
Tewkesbury Park Golf Club. A brief history. This is quite important, I think, for us. So, as part of the Tewkesbury website...
Yes.
Oh, no, this is just someone's website talking about having stayed here. So, Jessica Patterson's website, just a person.
Okay.
Right? She actually says she really likes it. The staff are incredibly friendly and guided us to a King Edward IV suite, which overlooked the ground.
Mm.
Here's the key sentence. The room boasted a king-size Hypnos bed, a 40-inch smart-screen TV... a desk by the windows, an espresso machine with a sexy picture of George Clooney in an accompanying note.
That is...
The accompanying note, of course, is the apparent fiction that George tells you how to make the espresso.
This is what,
which Danny Wallace is making fun of.
So when you're getting the job,
you're
saying, I want to give it a sense of humour.
Yeah.
Without destroying the sense of history.
The classiness.
It used to be owned by the Speaker of the House of Commons.
Sir John Popham.
Sir John Poppingjay.
Popham.
Popham. And, you know, it's got a rich history.
Yeah.
And so in the interview, you don't want to promise too much.
I know what you're getting to.
Then you sit there and you think, start doing some fun things. So
what about we make the Nespresso machines as if the instructions are done by George Clooney. Now... Here's the thing I want to get to.
You don't do it very well, is the point.
Oh, right. Okay, well, hold that thought for a minute, because I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
As a man who, you know, has probably done contracts for some very major stars whilst you were overseeing Celebrity Big Brother.
Right.
No one like George Clooney, to be fair, but nonetheless.
No.
So George Clooney, I think, does indeed have a deal with Nespresso.
Yes, he does.
I'm pretty sure he does.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, no, he does. I've seen him do Nespresso advert.
Yeah.
What I don't know, and if you're listening, George... I don't want to create a lawsuit here, but I don't know that that includes you can use my image on actual machines in the hotel, Tewkesbury Park Hotel, and then pretend that I'm telling people how to make the coffee.
Mm.
Because although it isn't signed GC, you know, or anything like that, or not even, what's his wife's name?
Amal.
Nothing like that. So he doesn't actually say this is George.
Yeah.
It very strongly implies it. There's a big picture of George, and then it says things like, I prefer gold. Now, who's talking if it's not George? I mean, Danny Wallace is making the correct point. It's a 52-year-old woman who's in charge of media at Tewkesbury Park Hotel.
Mm.
But the impression you get, and Jessica Patterson, who has done this website about her travels in the Cotswolds or Oxfordshire. Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
I think she thinks it's a sexy picture.
You think she really thinks he's written the note?
Possibly, yes.
Well, assume she
does.
Not
to her personally. I don't think she thinks
that's
that.
Well, George Clooney's lawyers, maybe his wife, would argue strongly that Jessica thought it was really from him. I think that's how they'd build a case, because they'd say, you're passing it off, aren't you, as George. As
Chooks Park Hotel have not, I would hazard a guess. Now,
submit.
If I'm wrong, I take it back. But I don't think Chooks Park Hotel have offered George Clooney estate, George Clooney holdings, any cash on top of his basic deal with Nespresso to say, we're going to tell people how to work the machines in our rooms in your voice.
No.
So it's a scandal.
A voice they captured brilliantly, on the... Yeah. I suspect where you get to is, you're right, it's not, you know, you can't use his image without, you know, being given approval. But you get to that thing where the lawyers, the judge would just throw it out of court.
Right.
Because it's obviously not him. You know, it's just a sort of light, you know, it's done with a light touch. And this head of marketing who's got this job is just doing it for a bit of fun.
I would say if I was Amal at this point, unlikely that Amal would necessarily be defending George.
Yeah.
But let's say it was Amal.
Do massive human rights cases.
Yeah, but let's say it was Amal. Mm. I would say I'm calling as my main witness Jessica Patterson. Right?
Yeah.
And then Jessica would take the stand.
Yeah.
And Jessica would be deeply disappointed to discover that wasn't written by George Clooney, because she clearly thinks on her website, when she says there's a sexy picture of George Clooney in an accompanying note.
Yeah.
In is a bit weird there, by the way.
Hmm?
Well, it says there's a sexy picture of George Clooney in an accompanying note. Now, I think that clouds the issue.
Right.
If she said there's a sexy picture of George Clooney with an accompanying note to tell you how to work the espresso machine, it's a cut and dried case.
Yeah.
It says, George was telling me, he wrote me
a note.
I see what
you mean,
blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But actually, she's been a bit more specific, and she is correct. It is just a picture of George Clooney in the middle of a piece of A4 with an accompanying note how to work the espresso machine.
By the way, we've lost the audience here totally, but I don't care, because I would say, as the prosecution, I'd be happy to call Jessica myself.
Right. Okay, well, you can cross-examine her. Yeah.
And take my glasses
off.
Okay,
so I'm Jessica.
Times. Yeah.
I'll be Jessica, right? You cross-examine me.
Jessica.
So I've basically said, tearfully, right? And I think I'm the key witness for the prosecution here, against Tewkesbury. It's basically George Clooney estate versus Tewkesbury Park.
Yeah.
And I have just said in tears, I went there, I thought George Clooney was telling me how to make coffee. Turns out it wasn't him.
Mm.
I'm devastated. I want my money back for my weekend, for my mini break.
Mm.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Jessica.
Yeah. I thought you had your defense.
I'm not doing
that.
A pause. I'm making her feel a bit unsettled.
Okay, all right.
I'm trying to get her on side as well. Jessica.
Okay, well, she's suspicious of you because you're in a film. I always think in a film at this moment, they should be more suspicious of the other lawyer.
Jessica, what's your favourite George Clooney film?
Ocean's 11.
Mine too. Now she's on side.
Okay.
Right. Job done. Didn't take long.
Yeah.
Put you on side.
Yeah.
I noticed you said in your submission, in your website, which I'm a big fan of. I've read it before
the
this case.
BespokeBlackBook.com.
Yeah. I read it well before this case.
Yeah.
I noticed you said in a note.
I did.
Not a note by, a note written by George, which is...
Yeah.
Can I perhaps suggest that at the time you realised the photograph was in a note written by Michelle Gibbons, the new head of marketing?
I have never heard of Michelle Gibbons. And although I did say, Your Honour, that it was George Clooney, a picture of George Clooney in an accompanying note, I absolutely remember looking longingly at that picture of George Clooney and feeling a moment of communion and thinking that because George is... And I seem to remember it was actually possibly blue-tacked, to the Nespresso machine. I'm not sure about that.
But you don't seem very sure of anything, Michelle. Is it Michelle? Yeah, that was her name.
Not Michelle, no. You got my name wrong. It's Jessica.
Jessica. Right. You don't seem very certain. Yeah. Jessica, can I ask you one more time?
Yes.
Whether you do, just for the record, do or don't know Michelle Gibbons?
I don't know Michelle Gibbons. I have no idea who Michelle
May
Gibbons
I present
is.
To the court? What's going on? What's going on? Exhibit 316.
Yes.
Emails. Well, perhaps you'd like to read out, Jessica, what these emails are.
Have you been hacking into my emails?
I'm handing
That's
you the
illegal.
Notes.
Illegal. Objection. Objection.
Overruled.
Overruled.
Jessica, would you like to read the emails?
Okay.
Perhaps tell us who they are from and to.
Dear Michelle, I really, really am happy for you that you've got the job at Tewkesbury Park. Did you get it in the way that I suggested by saying you liked the place but thought it could have a bit more fun and a bit more edge? By the way, if you have done that, that'll provide good material for my website I'm planning to create. Yours, Jess.
No further questions, Your Honour.
And then the case was dismissed. You're absolutely right.
That's how it happened. That's literally word for word what happened. Yeah. I've just been reading that.
Yeah. It's time to go. No, we've got a bit more to do.
This
that
special
was good.
Episode.
I think what we should do is go and stay at Tewkesbury Park Hotel.
I think that would be a lovely thing to do.
Now, one thing about this show, and now I remember what it was that I wanted to talk about right at the start.
Okay.
Which is some of you who listen to every show, and there are people who've done that. In fact,
listen to every show.
Yeah. In fact, when we were confused as to whether or not we'd told the story before about Paul McCartney, the particular Paul McCartney story about on Fame Academy, where you have to get him to do two takes. All through that, I was thinking, haven't we told this story before? And then I said, oh, I know this story, if you remember. But I still wasn't sure if we'd told it on the podcast.
Yes.
A man tweeted me to say, I have listened to every single podcast and it's the first time I've heard that story.
First time? Oh, yes. So we hadn't done it before?
Yeah, in fact, I did in fact send you the tweet and said,
that rings a bell.
For that. Yeah, that rings a bell, yeah. So my point is, people who listen to this on a regular basis will know that we used to quite regularly have guests on it. And I was going to talk about that, about how we don't anymore. And that's mainly because we prefer it without guests.
Yes.
Is the truth.
And I feel like we have to be on best behaviour with them, even though friends.
It sounds like a crap thing to say, because we've had some very nice people on who've been
really
funny.
Yeah.
And in the very unlikely event that any of them are listening, don't take that the wrong way. But we quite like it just being us. Having said that, somebody we both know and who has mentioned that he'd quite like to be on the podcast, or at least we've talked to him about it, is the television presenter and presently absolute king of creating game show formats, Richard Bacon, who lives in LA now.
He does.
And doesn't like David Bowie.
No.
And that's the point, is that we like Richard, but he doesn't like Bowie, and he's quite annoyingly, actually, particularly when he's a bit oops upside his head at parties, come up to both of us and started saying, he's just noise, isn't he, David Bowie, things like that. And we did think that would be quite an interesting conversation to have him on to talk about why he doesn't like David Bowie. It might not be, because...
Yes, it's hard to know.
Because actually, when I've spoken to him about it, I just think, as I might do with someone who doesn't like David Bowie, you're just a fucking idiot in this respect.
No, exactly.
Not other respects, but in that respect, you're a fucking idiot.
Yes.
And so I wonder if we'll get further than that.
It's hard to know, because, like you say, you need something to argue with and something to grab hold of. And if Richard, who we've been talking, we might call now and just see, get a flavour of what he's got to say. But if he just says, well, he's crap,
I don't
where do
say,
we
well,
go
he's
with
crap.
That?
I get the impression that he just thinks it's noise.
He keeps saying noise,
Which I mean, obviously, some Bowie, I mean, if he was talking specifically, which he won't be, about outside, then he has
no,
a point.
No, he's not.
There's a
I mean,
point,
I can tell
obviously.
You what he's talking about. Hunky-dory, he's
talking
about.
I think he thinks hunky-dory is
it's
just
like the least noisy of all of them.
Yes, hunky-dory, which is
not
entirely melodic, sweet. No, he's not talking about I Can't Read from Tin Machine, or indeed anything from Outside, or from, you know, the album The Little One Earthling, or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, so shall we give it a go anyway?
Let's give it a go. And he's
He's in LA.
He's up.
Is he up?
I know he's up, because I spoke to him earlier about something completely different.
Okay.
He may not answer. We're ringing now. This is Richard Bacon.
Okay.
Ah, Richard.
Yeah.
I am phoning you with David Baddiel. We're doing our podcast.
Yeah, hi, David.
Hello, Richard. How are you?
Good, thank you. So good, just having some breakfast.
Oh, we were hoping at some point to have you on properly as a guest, but we sort of ran out of things to say on our podcast. And then Tim reminded me that you've offered to come on the podcast and talk about why you don't like David Bowie. And we just thought, let's phone him and talk about that now.
Yeah,
I can do that.
Give us a sense of... Because when I was over in LA, I bought you Hunky Dory, didn't I?
No, you didn't go as far as to actually pay for it.
Right. That's a detail.
Even though I think we just sold a potential global television format.
Yes, well, I've told our audience that you're a king of game show formats now. So that's in the bank.
I think it's just the fact that it's potential hit. It's just still potential, so I don't want to start splashing it on albums for you.
Saying, Tim, when we pitched to big American networks, one of those big American networks buys the game show.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is you could have paid for Spinal.
Could have. Definitely could have.
I agree with that.
You were staying in my house as well.
I think Tim comes across badly from this anecdote.
I think anecdote's dressing up a bit. So you've got Hunky Dory and you've got Diamond Dogs, I think, in your...
On vinyl?
Yeah. On vinyl.
Now, have you actually played them?
No, well, they've still got the wrapping on them.
Right.
I really, really, truly love buying vinyl. It's one of the things
doesn't
that
sound like it.
Makes me happy. Well, as long as it's not David Bowie,
I
think it's the rule, it's the caveat. Nothing makes me happier than sitting in my living room putting vinyl on. I've got a 1979 Marantz amp. I've got 1975 floor speakers, literally from the year I was born, and a record player. And you listen to the albums and you listen to the music in the order that you were meant to hear it on the album. And it's a tiny bit grainy. And it's so much more satisfying than streaming music to some Sonos speakers.
Yeah.
The problem is, David Bowie. And the problem, as I think we all know with David Bowie, is that it sounds like a racket.
So there's a number of things to deal with there.
Yeah.
Before we get on to that particular statement that you made, I don't understand something, which is Tim and you went to a vinyl shop and you bought Hunky Dory and Aladdin Sane and you didn't get it out of the wrapper.
Yeah.
It's actually Diamond Dogs, I think.
Oh, Diamond Dogs, and you didn't get it out of the wrapper.
There's a famous record store on Sunset Boulevard called Amoeba Records.
Right.
And it's enormous. And we went in there and Tim introduced me to some other music that I'd never heard before. So we got a T-Rex album, right, Tim?
Yep, Electric Warrior.
And we got
Fleetwood Mac. We got Rumours. I mean, this is like...
We got Rumours.
So you hadn't heard Rumours
before?
No, Rich
is on a journey with music.
You hadn't heard Rumours?
Yeah.
No songs from Rumours?
No, I'd heard a couple of songs from Rumours. I just hadn't heard the album in its entirety. Again, to my earlier point about, hearing the songs in the right order. We also bought Beach Boys, didn't we, Tim?
Yeah, Pet Sounds.
Okay.
Now, they were all opened on the same day, played one after the other,
right,
at a fairly high volume on the aforementioned record player. The thing about David Bowie is it's just... I accept it's a form of prejudice within me, but I hesitate to put it on because I feel as though this noise is going to come out the speakers.
Okay, so Richard... Richard, I'm not going to get angry... Okay,
we've both
been working therapeutically about this conversation.
We were ready for this.
So we've decided not to get annoyed and angry. And I think we'll begin by asking, what sort of music do you like?
Well, that is a good question. I'm going to give you a quick backstory, which I went to a boarding school in the late 80s and early 90s, very early 90s, and we had no access to popular culture. And so I had this sort of blind spot of things like Duran Duran and that era just completely passing me by. And then I feel like ever since then, I've been sort of catching up on things that everyone, listening to music as a teenager came naturally to everyone else, and it didn't happen for me. So my relation to music is a bit weird.
Mm.
And
I agree with that so far.
Mm.
So you're not someone who was born, as it were, or grew up listening to music, but what now?
I assume when you were a teenager, David, you were going down record stores and
yes,
buying records and taking them home and playing them, or making mixtapes. And I didn't do any of these things.
Yes, I was doing all those things. I actually tried to steal from a record shop called Spin It in Wilson Green two vinyl records. I tried to shoplift them. And one of the things about vinyl records is they're fucking hard to shoplift.
Yes.
I was there for nearly an hour, too frightened to do it, drawing attention to myself. I eventually did put them up my jumper and then immediately was stopped by the assistant who said he was going to call the police.
Wow.
So thank you for bringing that up.
Did they call the police?
He said he was going to call the police I think because I was 13 and crying, he chose not to, is what happened. But yes, I did all those things. I was also in a band, and I was very obsessed with Bowie and punk rock, and then indeed prog rock. But that's a whole other story. So what I want, the reason I'm asking is that that certainly, in terms of it being a racket, Hunky Dory, and indeed Diamond Dogs, but Diamond Dogs slightly lesser, Hunky Dory is just full of it's just full of intensely melodically sweet
songs. Almost the safest of all the albums.
It's incredibly melodic and incredibly sweet, mainly acoustic songs. And it's sort of Bowie's.
Oh, that's on Heroes. Is that on?
No, that's not on it, you see. That's considerably later, on an album called Heroes. That's what that's on. But it's, I mean, if what I'm trying to say is, if what I imagine is, and if you like Rumours by Fleetwood Mac, is what you think is not a racket, is kind of rather sweet and melodic songs like...
Landslide,
thank you. Songs like that. There are lots of songs like that, but better, on Hunky Dory.
Well, I'm happy to admit that I need to get past my...
But Richard, do you have this with anyone else? Is it just a Bowie thing for you? Are there other bands or...
I'm sure there's other bands I don't like, but I play on my vinyl, I play... Stones and the Beatles, and I played 1970s Elton John, and I...
But, I mean, you may be interested to know, or you may not, Richard, that when he died, I went to...
He mentioned you. He mentioned you.
He said the thing that upset him was that Richard Bacon
I
was
never got Richard Bacon.
No, when he died, I did a couple of talks about him, and the thing that I kept on saying was all this stuff about Bowie being a big sort of gender-bending, character-creating, theatrical performer is irrelevant, because the central thing about Bowie is he's an unbelievably brilliant songsmith. He writes unbelievably beautiful songs, certainly in his golden period, both of which albums Tim bought for you would be included in that. So I just think you need to maybe...
I have a suggestion.
I'm not just saying open your ears to Bowie. I'm saying I think you've got stuck or snagged on an idea of David Bowie, which is just wrong.
Can I make a suggestion?
Loud industrial noise. Yeah.
I'll make a suggestion, Richard, partly because my arm is going to sleep because I'm holding this phone. Here's what we could do. I had a similar thing with Genesis. I can't bear the notion of Genesis. I grew up thinking they were everything I hated, and I was never able to listen to them. And I'm not a massive fan of them, but actually David's made me this playlist about 4 years ago and said, okay, here's the songs you could listen to that will probably appeal to you. And it was very helpful.
Helpful, because Tim is still struggling with coming out the closet as a Genesis fan.
Yeah.
He has told me privately, not on this podcast, that he became obsessed with Trick of the Tail, a Phil Collins Genesis album.
And if I can get into Genesis, you can definitely get into Bowie. So why don't we could make you a playlist.
I'll listen and we'll reconvene.
And then you could...
Actually, I would make a similar point about Elton John, which is that certainly, I think, people around my age and people a bit younger than me, my sisters are like this, just had this impression of Elton John as being the guy that was portrayed in newspapers as just being a bit excessive and kind of annoying. And actually, when you engage with his music, it's brilliant. He's so unbelievably talented as a writer of music. And so I think I may have gone on a slightly similar journey with Elton that you went on with Genesis.
I mean, to be honest with you, 1970s Elton John, which I completely agree, is amazing. Isn't really very different, I mean, at its best, from Bowie. I mean, Bowie is rockier and he pushes the boundaries more, but I would say...
And he's better.
Yes, but I would say Oh, You Pretty Things could be an Elton John song, could
definitely.
It not?
Can I end on two little nuggets for you?
Yes, please do.
I learned a great fact about David Bowie whilst preparing one of these game shows. And so John Major's dad was born in the 1870s, which I think as a standalone fact is Major's dad was born.
That is quite
amazing. In
that's
Brixton.
He's from Brixton. He was a circus performer called Tom Major.
Yeah.
And Major Tom apparently comes from David Bowie seeing a poster in Brixton for Tom Major. That's where the character of Major Tom came from, John Major's dad. Did you know that already?
No, I didn't know that. Did you know that?
No, well, Richard had told me this.
Hang on.
I think it's amazing.
On. That's incredible.
Yeah, that is amazing.
I mean, there's a number of things. It's incredible in itself. It's also incredible that someone who does not like David Bowie and who, frankly, has got David Bowie completely wrong knows that about David Bowie, which we didn't know. That's amazing. So Major Tom is is from John Major's
dad. That's what they're
saying,
but I mean, it's an amazing story if that's true.
I love the idea. The astronaut might have been a bit like John Major. You know, and in my head now, unfortunately, I can't do the impression.
On heroin.
I'm now singing it in a John Major voice with that strange half moustache that he used to have. Carry on. And the other thing
is... It's also a wonderful fact that it's also... It kind of tells... It's a very interesting way to see John Major himself that way, that so many prime ministers come from Eton now. This Tory prime minister, his dad was genuinely a famous circus performer. Mm. That's what he was.
It's incredible.
But secondly, when my phone went and it said Tim Hinks, I thought, oh, Tim's calling to tell me we've got another serious commission for one of our game shows. And I answered, and he'd called to talk about David Bowie. So, yet again, I'm not associating David Bowie with joy.
I see what, I hadn't thought that through.
You're associating, just like you did the vinyls themselves.
I shouldn't have.
You're associating with crushing disappointment.
Yes,
Richard, thank you so much.
Richard, it's been a pleasure. We'll make a playlist for you, and then when you're back in London, we can see whether you've got any further down the road of enlightenment.
And next time you're here, you can pay for the records.
Yeah.
Well, let's not go overboard. Let's just see how it goes. See you soon, Richard.
Cheers, Richard. Great to talk to you. Thank you.
Bye.
But that was...
Okay, more sensible than we thought. More thoughtful.
Well, I have to say, he pulled a Trump card out of the bag with that Major Tom thing. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, Rob Newman used to do a very good impression in the Mary White Experience of John Major. Mm. And had I known all this in 1990, we would have definitely had the astronaut.
As John
singing
Major.
The whole of Space Oddity as... Yeah.
Have a go.
Well, this is Grand Tour Major Tom, would not be that. No.
Tell my wife, hang on.
What's the bit where you say begins the Major Tom's voice?
This is Major Tom to Ground Control.
Hello, this is Major Tom to Ground Control. I'm stepping through the... this is basically...
Isn't it more in the back of the...
That's better. No, you do it.
This is Major Tom to Ground Control. I'm stepping through the door. And I'm floating in the... It's hard to do. Are you speaking or are you singing?
No, but I can imagine him saying, and I'm floating in the most peculiar way. Edwina. I can imagine that.
Was that something about peas?
No, what was the thing about peas?
Peas
was something... a spitting image thing about him.
Right.
And the other thing about him, and I think we could possibly finish on this, is one of my favourite jokes from the Mary West Experience was that we did a whole bit about whether or not John Major had a moustache. Because he has a sort of weird thing on his upper lip, which looks like he might have a moustache.
A long thing.
And might not. And we ended up saying it's like you've looked for a long time at a moustache-shaped light bulb and then immediately looked at his face.
Yes.
And I always love
that. Exactly, yeah.
No, and so that's I think, how we would have done our version of Space Oddity with Rob Newman as Major Tom.
Wow, extraordinary. And yet, so it's a parallel universe and you've done it. And that feels good, doesn't it?
That feels like I've healed so many things. See you next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping.
For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.